Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
mounted as the floating palace neared her European port. Having crossed from New York to Bishop's Rock off the English coast in 3 days, 10 hours, and 40 minutes, the liner United States established a new Atlantic speed record, July 6, 1952. Cheering crowds at Southampton hailed the American ship that had clipped 10 hours from the transatlantic mark set by Britain's own Queen Mary. Then westbound, the United States knifing through the Atlantic for her second record crossing. It was noted by the builders of the ship that in the event of necessity for emergency conversion to military service, the United States could transport 14,000 men, or virtually a full division, 10,000 miles without putting into port for food, fresh water, or fuel. But for the crew and officials and passengers aboard the liner, the greatest moment was now at hand. The United States was reaching Ambrose Lightship outside New York with the Blue Riband of the Atlantic, having made the return trip in a record 3 days, 12 hours, 12 minutes. Saluting the ship whose maiden voyage shattered Atlantic speed marks going over and coming back. At the turn of the century and beyond, Great Britain and Germany dominated leadership in fast Atlantic crossings. Now, for the first time in almost 100 years, the speed crown was claimed by the Stars and Stripes. New York, home port for many of the greatest ships on the oceans, really put on a show. A big broom symbolized the sweep of the Blue Ribbon Speed Trophy by the $70 million United States, America's first lady of the high seas.
Good afternoon and welcome to America's Disabled Veterans in Action. I'm Dr. George Anderson and this is ADVIA Media. I am always so overjoyed when I hear that entrance of the United States, of the Columbia Gem of the Ocean and the SS United States. You know, we talk about that great ship because the ship itself is a symbol of us as veterans once our service is done. It is for that reason that ADVIA is the flagship military branch of the SS United States Conservancy. We have asked your help in saving that great ship. So, we continue to get your help by supporting www.ssusc.org. That being said, we need to help you at ADVIA also, and we're always open to donations. That being said, today's broadcast, we have our Stephanie Rusingo. Steph, how are you?
I am finally doing pretty good. It's good to be out of the hospital, although I did enjoy the peace and quiet private room out of the side, except for the needle poking every few hours. And that was pretty good. It was a nice warm room, and I feel very grateful to have been getting better and have a doctor who's going to be giving me some surgeries and fixing me up for a tad. Time for the holidays. Anyway, there's a lot of things to be thankful for, and feeling better is one of them. How about you, Dr. George?
Well, I, for one, am always thankful for the fact of the matter that our numbers on Facebook are forever climbing. Every time I look at our page, every time I take a look at our page, I'm always surprised to find numbers that are exceeding my every expectation. Stephanie, for the last 3 months, the last quarter of the year, that about America's Disabled Veterans in Action has been talking to 250,000 people per week. Let me say that again. America's Disabled Veterans in Action talks to at least 250,000 people per week.
You know, that's quite a few. It shows how hungry people are for uncensored information, you know, that our we know our press is controlled. We know that they're not addressing our concerns, and we need to get it out there, what our concerns are, what our problems are, and fix them. Because unless we have a true identification of the problems and our needs, how in the world are they going to get fixed if they're totally ignored or missed?
Exactly.
And we've both been to too many funerals where that was a direct result. As you know, my
30,642 lives.
And that's just what's counted. We know my friend down in Napa, she was suicide, but it wasn't counted as such. After 60?
No, not suicide. I'm talking about these are the people that are following us on our Facebook page.
I am sorry.
What I'm talking about is the fact of the matter that, yes, we are losing people to suicide, but America's Disabled Veterans is trying to ensure that we keep the message out there about these suicides, because it is important. The quality of life of what we're going through and experiencing.
Exactly. I'm sorry. It's just every time I think of my friends that are dead under their own hand, I just get so sad, especially at holiday times, between the sadness in my own life and the stuff that's coming down. It just, it's hard.
Well, of course. No. Life sometimes is a valley of tears.
I will agree with that. So lots of trials and tribulations. But I guess I'm really lucky because as Christian, I know that we do get out of this life alive. It's a part two. And that's what happens to us for eternity.
It's crazy. Really, really crazy.
Oh, I know. And then we both know that this is the high season for suicides because of the holidays. Those whose families have left them, those whose families just flat out don't understand them, those who are so economically down that they have no place to go, no one to call a friend. And some of them are just suffering in silence because, hey, you soldier up. You know, you could handle anything thrown at you while you were in. And you got the mission done no matter what. You did your job. And then now, you know, you can't even find a warm place to sleep, to brush your teeth. You know, a lot of places it's illegal to be homeless. And there are reports of them hauling off, and there are some that are so on the fringes, many living in cars in Walmart parking lots. And it is sad, especially this Korean veteran couple. They got foreclosed on, and they're not the only ones. And they came from Lake County here because they thought it would be easier on them here, but it turned out not to be the case. I mean, what kind of a country are we that we have people in their 80s who are homeless. I mean, really?
It shouldn't be.
Absolutely not. You know, we should have safety nets. You know, those that are disabled should have real help. Those that are veterans should have the best help. We're the ones that keep them free. Unfortunately, we've kept our politicians free to go ahead and use the Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe and hide it school of government of pawns. And I, for one, I can't take much more of this. You know, in our vision, the director, I've sent him two letters. I've been in person several times trying to get his responses. And they just feel they can continue to hide. But I'm on a show, we're giving them every single opportunity. And you know, Dr. George, they are so egregious. They're lying. They don't even understand why there's nobody that they're actually fooling except for the public. And a lot of times even the public can figure it out. Well, anyway,
our Brooklyn Navy Yard call in number is 347-884-8078. 347-884-8078. Well, Steph, what's new in the world of our fight against the issue of criminal military sexual trauma? Anything?
Nothing has advanced more except that justice delayed, justice denied is now available for free on the internet. That we have, there are the other movies that we can still get free on the internet. So if you want to watch something on male sexual trauma, you have that. If you want to watch something from The Invisible War, which has been put in the public domain, and When Women Come Marching Home, now that's one I can really get behind. Maybe it's just because I'm a woman. But at any rate, the problems our sisters are facing, and that too is available for free on the internet. You get it Amazon, you can get it Netflix, and there's some public way to get it. And I will be posting the link as soon as I get it, because the last one I had was defective, and I didn't want to disappoint someone who goes on our website to go download one of those movies. And knowing that they can have counselors wherever they're at, not just an 800 number, but to get fellow survivors who know what you're going through and know how hard it is to take the first step. Says, hey, I was violated. And then what happened to you afterwards? I have a lieutenant colonel who did a 30-year career, got out, and disclosed that she was raped in basic. She was raped again in AIT. You know, she was enlisted and then, you know, went into officer corps. And that was the second person I heard that happen to in less than a year. And they kept silent the whole time. You know, when I meet them, I recognize it, because you can't fool a fooler. I know what it's like to hide, to suffer in silence. You know, and then you just see this, you know, it takes one to know one. It's kind of that simple. But at any rate, I just want people to know that those movies are now available. And there's one that I would really recommend, too. It's called The Lioness. And I'll get a link for that one up, too. And I'm not sure if there's a cost involved. It would be more than 99 cents anyway. It's the story of women who were in Iraq. And they were given to other commanders so they could search Muslim women, or those pretending to be Muslim women behind burqas. And with the Muslim culture, you know, it can only be another female touching. And And these women just got down on a really personal level and just said, hey, I'm a woman too. Hey, we're both. And, you know, they used just humanness and kindness and compassion and got to be friends with them. And then the first time, when one of the women was outside, she was being fired out in the square, and the Marines, the whole company who was with her, they split, firing back, and they left her to her own devices. Well, she survived. Someone on a rooftop, you know, motioned to her where the fire was coming from, so she was able to get out. Now, remember, women weren't supposed to be in combat. She goes, and she finds the company. She goes in the back, and this one guy was kind of sheepish, like, oh, crap, and just sheepishly smiles. And she told him, hey, no hard feelings. Yeah, all you did is left me out to get shot. Hey, that's cool. And then she kneed him. And you know exactly where she kneed him. I mean, with every ounce she had with that fury. And you know what? She didn't get in trouble. I wonder why. But that's just one example of how men were treating the women and could not get regular status, couldn't get on combat infantry badges. It didn't matter. And they'd be in convoys, and then the men would be dying, and then who could fire the 50 cals? Who could fire? Nobody. The women weren't qualified. They weren't allowed to touch it. So finally, some brave guys decided, okay, I'll go ahead and train you women, but it has to be on the QT because, hey, I'm macho and I don't want to get in trouble. And then after several months of this, you know, when the first gunner would get shot, the second one to take up, you know, who's a woman. And then they realized if you have women in a combat zone getting fired upon, that is smarter to have them know how to fire back and let them be armed. Amazing concept. And they were dying and getting maimed at the same rate the men were. And guess what, Dr. George? PTSD was raising its nasty head. And then I've got so many stories of women, and they're not stories because, you know, they're true, but anecdotal evidence. People in tanks were getting gang raped. Same as they were in Vietnam, General Westmoreland's camp and other camps. It's a good old boys club, which is why it is so crucial that we take MST seriously. We have it investigated independently by people who know what they're doing and don't have a vested interest to cover it up, and make sure that no commander's reputation is ruined by letting the truth get out. Matter of fact, commanders need to welcome the truth. Because, you know, if you have an open and honest and you back your men and your women, then they're going to perform better. You're going to have better morale. I don't understand why they can't figure that out. But you know how good old boys are.
Yeah.
Bury your head in the sand. What were you going to say before I rudely interrupted you?
No, I mean, you know, the best disinfectant for corruption is sunshine, and folks don't, there for those out there that don't like it.
No, they don't, and that's got to stop. Very soon, because the Equal Rights Amendment, which although it hasn't been ratified yet, pretty soon they are going to be passing a law where women have to register for selective service, same as men. And after careful consideration, I'm in the camp, every young person, 2 years, mandatory. And I think every man and woman needs to be trained in combat arms. Switzerland, they've got a ready reserve of every household. So if you want to invade Switzerland, chances are you're going to get your butt torn up. And we, Stephen, we're going to need to defend our homeland against that kind of an evil. It's insidious. They don't fight on the battlefield. They fight on the streets. And I want to say something to be very clear, Dr. George. I get a lot of attacks, and I won't back down. If I have a personal belief, it's usually because I've either had experience or research and I've come to it. If I am wrong, you prove it to me. Just show it to me, and I'll change my mind to go with the facts. This is an opinion that is based on facts, and that is, if you are a Muslim, you believe in the Quran. You have your imam, same as we have priests and pastors, and they guide you religiously. They believe that Allah's laws are the perfect laws, and his punishments are the perfect punishments for any crime.
I don't believe their laws. I don't think that their laws really fit anything.
You know, I mean, a woman committing adultery, you bury in stone, or you just behead. You know, no. You know, due process. Anyway, my point is they believe that Allah's laws are just, and that his punishments are perfect punishments, and it applies to everyone. So right there, neither of us believe in Allah, some agriculture god from way deity from way back when, and Muhammad was nothing more than a pedophile and quite a few other heinous things. However, I'll respect their right to believe in what they do, but you don't force it on me, and you don't kill my fellow man. And your Quran says that as an infidel, I must be beheaded, I must be killed or enslaved. I don't think so. To me, that's evil. And they will fight, and they will take it to every household, every street, whatever it takes to inflict their will. They've done it. They have done it before. They've been doing it for what? Over 1,000 years? And I believe we must rise up. We must defend ourselves and quit going this political correctness stuff. Why wait till we get slaughtered before we wake up and smell the coffee? This has been a plan that's been executed for years. Politics have strange bedfellows. You got a new world order that wants to get in bed with these animals to advance their agenda? I don't think so. I'm an American. I believe in freedom. I believe in Ben Franklin, that I'm not going to give up any liberty for safety. No, I will fight for my liberty. I will fight for the next generation's liberty. It will be fair, and it will be constitutional. You know, it's we have freedom of and from religion. You know, that's, we have sovereign states. And at the most local level, that should be the best level of governance. And that's a republic where the people elect people they know to represent them and watch them so carefully that they don't want to sell you out. They'll be scared to death. They sell us out, then they're going to be getting their pink slips in the election. But anyway, going back as it may, Stan, I guess we should talk about San Bernardino, because we both know that 50% of the terrorist squad was a female. And I've had a lot of women and men ask me, you know, what my opinion is of that. And of course, naturally, as a woman vet, because we can do anything the men can do. Of course, I believe we could do it better, but maybe not. But, you know, we could do it at least equally, to the best of our abilities. And there's nothing preventing a woman who believes in something from using every combat arm to inflict their agenda. Of course, we are a moral people, and we use combat arms within a bunch of laws, the Geneva Convention and our own U.S. military. We have strict rules of engagement. You know, we follow orders and we don't believe in terror. And, of course, a woman can do it the same as a man. And there's nothing that prevents, you know, a female from being deadlier than a male. We've all heard of black widows. I don't say that proudly, but I'm saying that there is a certain...
Not only that, but if anybody reads any of the biblical works of the book of Judith, that'll tell you.
Yeah. So this is nothing new. And besides, of all the animals that you could think of off the top of your head, what's the first thing you think of when you think of animal kingdom and mothers protecting their cubs?
A mama bear.
Exactly. That's our state bear, the grizzly bear. Ferocious defender of her young. And, of course, just about every other animal is a ferocious defender of their young, too. You threaten our home, our hearth, our homes. And, of course, we're going to fight. We fight for our young. We'll do what it takes for our young. I mean, I would much rather, when I was teaching, I would much rather deal with a father than I would an irate mom who thinks, you know, oh, you shouldn't have given them that grade. Oh, you should have, you know, demanded. Why didn't you put them in one play? Why don't, you know, it's like, well, to me, what? You may sit in the classroom and you may be an assistant and then you could see why. But to father, it was, at least in my experience, it was a whole lot easier dealing with them than it was with a mother who thought that their child should have been given more special consideration and, like, parts for plays and, you know, things like that. But be it as it may, that's my experience. At any rate.
Well, you know, the thing is that we have so much that's going on, and we have to do whatever we can in order to make sure that we keep our attention on the issues that affect our community, and that's what we do so well here at ADVIA. Our Brooklyn Navy calling number is 347-884-8078, 347-884-8078.
Yes, and when we get Chrissy to come in, because I told everyone we were going to talk about finances, but she is on vacation with her children in New York, and I guess back there Times Square is activating some Ferris wheel and all kinds of Christmas fun. But anyway, she had been a guest before, and she's a financial consultant at I forgot what, but she is a talented writer. She's a published author, and she gives speeches throughout literally the world. But her passion, of course, is veterans. And one of her new specialties is repairing credit when you're deployed and how to, within 1 year, fix any credit situation so that you are, you know, following certain principles of the fiscal health. And it's amazing. It doesn't matter whether you're an E1 or you're or an O9. It shouldn't get you up there. I didn't quite believe it was possible, but facts speak for themselves.
Exactly.
And she gets a bigger and bigger following, so, like right now in my shape, unless I can come up with $150,000 by January the 5th, my house is gone, and my last finance thing just fell through. They said they would only finance to $110,000, and my house, you know, is worth more, but repairs need to be done, and every month my credit goes down. You know, you do the best you can with what you have.
See, the thing is that people don't assume, that people assume that we are not trying to make it. But the thing is that veterans are suffering. I mean, I don't know one of us that is at 100% that some way that's not endangered and suffering.
Well, I know, especially us older ones, it depends whether they have Social Security on them or not. My ex-husband foobarred me back when I was pregnant with my daughter, and he did it behind my back. I found out about a year after we were separated that he refused it my name, and then by the time I found out, the letter that they had given me was a year old, and then they had the laws about the quarters, so I was denied my Social Security to go concomitant with my VA. And of course, back then my VA was only service connected at 10%. The rest of the stuff wasn't service connected. And my big problem, I could not face it, which was MST. And then, of course, gravity takes over on your knee and back, and then some of the other exposure thing doesn't become evident until years later. And, well, you know how that goes.
Yeah.
And, of course, back then, there was a lot of things that were wrong with us women, and they didn't think it was a big deal. Well, of course, it turns out over the course of time, it was a big deal. But that's bridge under the water. As long as we reach out and help our younger women veterans and the young women serving to be protected and to get a fair deal, then our suffering's worth it.
Mm-hmm. It truly is.
You know, and it makes sense that a suffering, if you can make good out of it.
Oh. We should have a sterile background. I don't mean to be rude, but you pick up a lot of noise when you have on speakerphone. You got to find bad quality for our listeners when they're listening to all of the background noise, if it's a loud TV or something. So you need to try to be somewhere where you have a sterile environment, because you're being overpowered right now.
Okay, it's just, I need to get hearing aids. I don't want to admit that, but I like to pump up the volume so I can hear.
Yeah, but the volume is causing you to be overwhelmed as you try to talk, because whatever's in your background, making that much noise is just in here. I'm not trying to be nasty, I'm just saying.
Oh, okay, no, it's just that I'm at an apartment with some older folks that have hearing aids. It's just that where I live, my electronics flatly don't work. And,
yes.
You know, without some modern conveniences, it's somewhat difficult.
Yes, I get it. I get it. I really do. Well, you know, we are very lucky to have you on air, and we're glad that you're here with us today. Over 594 people a day. It's all the way through. Six different countries.
Okay, do we have, I couldn't hear what your last sentence was.
I was telling our listening audience that we're very happy to have them here with us, the blessings that come along with the holiday season. See, because my thing is that although we are challenged in many ways, we have to take account for the good things that we do have.
Yes, we exist for our listeners, and we exist for those who go check out the website and Facebook page. It's a share. We want to share information. We want to share experiences. None of you is alone. Ever. We have your back. No man or woman left behind, period. No excuses, no exceptions. And do not ever feel that you're part of the background. Stand tall, stand proud. You may not be all stracked out. You may not be ready for inspection. However, you're our comrade. You're the reason we're here. If you're listening because you have a parent or a child and you're concerned about them and you think, well, I'll tune in, just find out what this MST thing is. Well, it's insidious. It gets to their core. It's hard. Just like regular PTSD, it's a medical diagnosis. Doesn't matter how you got it. What matters is that you're getting help for it. We're lifting our hands and pulling you up. Take it. We'll take it to the next step. I don't know how to triumph over it, but eventually maybe I will. I can tell you what doesn't work. I can tell you what's helped. But best yet, I can tell you other people who have kicked PTSD's butt, other people who were horribly traumatized by MST. And are living productive lives and got certain helps and are doing better. Nobody's a cookie cutter. No two are the same. Similar, but never the same. So reach out. You're taking the first step by listening right now. You're taking the second step by checking out the website, checking out the Facebook. And then share. We're here for you. I've got two great big shoulders. And don't you quip on how big they are, Dr. George.
I'm not saying a word. I think veterans that do this type of work have to develop big shoulders. Big, broad shoulders. Like those in the city of Chicago. The city of big shoulders. But this is what we have to do. This is why we do what we do. And when we do this, it's because we are dedicated to your cause of veterans.
Absolutely. And no matter what you are going through, there's nothing you could say that would shock us. Or there's nothing in a response that you've had, both physically or mentally, that's unique. Trust me on that one.
Oh, absolutely.
So, embarrassment, forget it. It's a non-issue. And we're here to help. That's the only reason we're here. Dr. George, this is funded out of his own pocket. A couple of friends help. I'm unable to, but I'm a volunteer. Behind the scenes, we feel calls. You know, we go and we visit and we help wherever we can and we listen. I learn more by listening than anything else. And, of course, a lot of tears goes with the listening. But, you know, that's the nature of the beast. You know, you can't heal unless you shed a few tears. And no man's an island. You can't do it alone.
It's not easy.
No, it's far from easy. If it was easy, it would have been done. If it was easy, there wouldn't be a problem. It would be fixed. Could have done it on our own. Or better yet, maybe our spidey senses, we wouldn't have been harmed in the first place. But that's not life. It'd be kind of nice if it was. But it's not. Anyway, we're about very close to the end of the broadcast. And even if Christy were to call in, we wouldn't have more than...
We're on the downside of 13 minutes. We're sliding fast, Steph. I know what you've done. You hit that button again, and you got the plane during that descent from. But,
Why do you always blame me?
Because I know what you do. You always try to get that little button. But unfortunately for you, it's jammed. We got 13 minutes and a few seconds left.
Well, I'm going to outsmart you because, hey, Army's better than Chair Force.
We got the plane.
And you're just our chariot drivers.
Well, you know, that's okay. We got the plane. You can't get there without us. The Navy doesn't have enough room.
Oh, really? I thought they had more planes than the Air Force does.
Oh, yeah, right. That's a real joke.
Well, Navy's
they
a smaller fighter.
They even depend on our guys for fuel.
Oh, so your gas station attendants just happens to have wings. Is that what you're saying?
We are. High in the sky, yes, we are. We're tanker chariots. That's right.
Oh.
We all have your little hot and hungry little F-18 Hornets. And now Raptors will be coming to feed from Air Force fuel jets, usually.
Oh, so we get you to pay for all the fuel, and you deliver it to us. Do you do windshields?
You're not Navy. You're Army. You get on the plane on the ground, young lady, trying to switch over.
Well, yesterday I was Navy.
Doesn't make you want. Yeah, trying to act like a wave does not make you one. You're a whack. Not a wave.
Well, yesterday we were all Navy, except for those at Schofield Barracks. Now, I did some Navy things for a Pearl Harbor Day. So I was made honorary Navy.
Yeah.
And
so,
I survived.
Yeah, well, you know. I belong to the crew dedicated to saving the New Jersey and the Iowa. I'm a part of her school, too.
Okay, actually, folks, for those who are listening the first time, this is all good-natured. We all have our prejudice with our own particular branch of service. We know we're all together, and it takes all of us together for the one fight. And that's what we're dedicated to. Doesn't matter if you're soldier, sailor, marine, coastie, we're all the same. We love each other, you're our comrades, and you're all equal. And of course, football day, Navy always kicks our butt, so I'll just skip that part.
We are there for our we are there for our people. And our people, whether you're Marine, Air Force, Army, Navy, Coastie, we're here for each other. You know, because only a veteran knows what another veteran has been through. And I don't care what branch you're in. When you get out,
you're all talking the same language. You are. So, there's something about, by the time you get out of basic, there's some kind of a morph. I wrote a paper on From Girl to Soldier. It was a process, and it sneaks up on you. And then when you serve together and you have the same experiences, I mean, who knows what it's like unless somebody who was there right with you. It's not like you can get mad and walk off your job if you've got some blank that's over you and is an idiot. You know, you have protocols, you have orders, you have, there's a uniformity. Besides the fact you are wearing the same uniform. Of course, some are better than others, depending on the amount of Brasso applied and the amount of starch that was applied.
Right.
But outside of that, we are the same, and we're a special blend, and we're 1% of the country. We are relying on so few, and very soon, it's not going to be enough, because as soon as more terror happens on our streets, then we're going to have to all come together, and us veterans are going to have to lead the way, which is why we're targeted so bad. I don't know about you, but one of our events for veterans groups on Facebook, we are getting so many people wanting to join. They're all Mideastern. They're posting. It's like, and then you realize, oh, yeah, they want to join because they want to know where we're going to be at. And it's kind of scary because once the violence starts hitting the fan and this San Bernardino is nothing, these Muslims, they've been told to unleash their own brand of terror. They know what to do. Notice they have no shortage of funds for weapons, ammo, pipe bomb making, and expensive apartments. And houses. You know, that's pretty daggone sad. And I don't know, I almost don't want to say what I feel about Putin actually stepping up to try and snap out some ISIS, get them where their fundings are. But I won't get into that. We're here about healing veterans. We're here about the person. We're here to help you on your way to heal, to share information, ferret out the truth, put it out to other people who are in the same boat. Just reach out. Share. There's nothing you can say or do that's going to shock us. There's nothing you can say or do that we can't figure out a way to help you. Because it's not just our two minds. There are thousands across the USA. And we're in your pocket. Because you're our brother. You are our sister. And we are one.
Exactly.
And I'm going to get that button, so ha, ha, ha.
Oh, you're early still. The autopilot won't let you in. They've got a lock on the door. We're stuck here.
Well, I've got my kitty cat that can ferret out anything. Matter of fact, my son had a ferret that could ferret out.
That is new type of titanium door. It just kind of just sits there. We got another 5 minutes, folks. Well, folks, you know, every day we come to the news, and it may not seem that a lot of people are calling in, but we know that people are listening. We know that we have Boston to Bolivia, from Indianapolis to India. So the thing is that you've got to understand whether you're listening to us on the internet, where we sometimes have people that call in and use them. That doesn't happen too often. But we get the people who listen to our programs in the archives to see what's going on. ABDIA Media is here to help the veteran community. And as Stephanie is telling you, it's not just one of us. And even though you may hear just a few of us at times, it's because we're disabled veterans in action. And as disabled veterans in action, we must do what we can in order that we can continue to bring forward the issues that are important to our community and our families.
Absolutely. And, you know, not only that, and just because you can let people who listen in and it lights up our boards, if you don't press one, you don't get on. And I know a lot of people are afraid to go, oh, Homeland Security's listening. Well, of course they, and NSA's listening. So is our enemy. Look at every veterans group that we have on Facebook. They've been infiltrated and trying to infiltrate by Arabs, Muslims. We know. I have an administrator.
That's what I say, hold it up high, because these people are coming in to look at us as an American society. Now everybody today is claiming I am Muslim. I don't agree. I do not agree. I don't want to sit here and give safe harbor to those who could kill us. I'm not living in fear. I'm just saying what is.
And by the way, don't be afraid. Never be afraid, okay?
Be not afraid. The love of Christ proclaim. Tell all the world about his sacred name. Yes, I'm a Christian, folks, and I sing about it, too. Because singing gets praying twice. Well, folks, we're finally at the last few minutes, and although I'm trying to add a little levity to something very serious, we are glad that you were with us today. We will be back tomorrow with our benefits segment. There will not be a Thursday segment this week, folks. I'm sorry, we are not having, unless we can get someone to come in on the phone. But that being said, we'll be back to the same channel and same back time tomorrow. Stephanie, will you?
Well, I told you I was going to do it. And I'm going
to
do it.
I told you to leave that, get the ferret away from the door. You know, it's
I'll
not really good.
I'll go wherever I want to.
And it's not that. You need to get the ferret
Thank you.
Anyway, I'll let you go, guy. Take care. Wait a minute. Wait a minute, George. You said you had to be off the air.
Hang on.
You said you only got 10 seconds. No, but that was on the green thing.
Hang on.
Okay, George?
Yeah, hang on 1 second.
He's got to do what we call the... Watch out. Be careful. You're going to cut yourself.